May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last year I was on a trip to the Holy Land, which was quite frankly 10 of the best days of my life. And one day on the trip, a lady relayed this story about her two grandsons. The 4-year-old says to the 2-year-old, "Do you know that Jesus lives in you and beside you?" And the 4-year-old then said to the 2-year-old, "Who do you believe in?" The 2-year-old took some time, clearly thinking the question through, and after a long pause, the 2-year-old said, "Peppa Pig." Now, there was a lot of confusion 2,000 years ago about who Jesus was. Was he a teacher, a prophet, a carpenter, a crazy man, just another person claiming to be the Messiah, of which there had been many before him and a number since? At the time, people would have believed in a number of different gods and officials, and for many, Jesus just wasn't Messiah material. They were expecting a warrior king. And I don't think the claim of that 2-year-old would be far off what we might hear if we posed that same question to this community. Perhaps not everyone in our community would claim to believe in Peppa Pig, but we'd certainly get a range of answers if we asked them who they believed in. And I'm sure we'd get some interesting answers if we asked them who they thought Jesus is and was. Just like 2,000 years ago, we experience confusion about who Jesus is. Some would even argue that he didn't exist. But the truth is, there's more evidence for Jesus than there is for Socrates. And Socrates was the Greek philosopher from Athens who is credited as one of the founders of Western philosophy. So why is it important to know the answer to that question? Well, I believe that the more we know the answer to Jesus' question, "Who do you say I am?" the more we are transformed and the more we live it out in our community and in the witness of our lives. In today's gospel reading, Jesus asks his disciples directly, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they report back to him that people think many things. Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah. So he restates his question, asking them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Peter's saying here that Jesus is the promised deliverer of the Jewish nation, prophesied in the Old Testament, and that he is God himself. Delivered from what, you might ask? Well, God's mission is one of redemption, the redemption of the world, the act of saving or being saved from sin or evil. And Jesus came to save us. In the Isaiah reading today, we heard words such as justice for the light to the peoples, salvation, deliverance, hope. This moment with the disciples was a moment of truth, a very special moment in their relationship with Jesus. It's a huge step forward for Peter and his companions, for behind the words, Jesus was not for Peter another great or admirable figure, but was the one who could change his life. And we shall see. It is not yet a total recognition of his identity or mission, but it is an exciting moment in their relationship with him. And the focus shifts immediately to Peter. He's praised for his insight, but Jesus makes it clear that it comes from divine inspiration and not himself. Jesus has taken the disciples well away from their normal sphere of activity to the far north of the land of Israel, well outside the territory of Herod. You see, word spreading, his followers are increasing rapidly. Herod has heard the reports about him, and 2 chapters previous we read of the beheading of Jesus' cousin John the Baptist. So Jesus has brought them here because he senses that his disciples have grasped who he is, God's Messiah. But he orders them not to tell anyone, for if it was to leak out at this stage, it would be deadly indeed. We know that the truth eventually cost Jesus his life, and Peter and the disciples were taking a great risk. And many of our brothers and sisters in Christ risk their lives for believing in Jesus today. I have a cousin who's currently a missionary in the world. She's gone with her husband and her 2 young children. I wonder if you know that over 260 million Christians worldwide are persecuted for their faith, and yet they follow Jesus no matter the cost. That's 1 in 8 Christians around the world that suffer persecution because of believing in Jesus. If you want to know more, you can look up an organisation called Open Doors. But guess what happens as a result of persecution? So often the church in these places grows. Though the authorities try, the truth prevails and the church grows. China's an example. It's currently 23rd on the World Watch List. And in 2004, there were 18 million Christians. 18 million. And this has grown to 38 million, an increase in 20 million in 2016. Just over 12 years, 20 million new Christians in China. And why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. Over and over again in Scripture we read, in my name, in Jesus' name, or in his name. The devils were powerless because of his name. The demons were cast out in his name. Healing occurred in his name. Salvation comes in his name. We are to baptize in his name. We are justified in his name. Everything we do and say is done in his name. Jesus has invited us, urged and commanded us to pray in his name. And he promises us incredible results. In John's Gospel, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the gate. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. I am the way, the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. There is power in the name of Jesus. And in the book of Philippians, in chapter 2, we read, Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So today, I think Jesus says those same words to us. Who do you say I am? And some of us might never have considered that question. I encourage you this week to ponder your response to that question, because it has the potential to be life-changing. When I first became a Christian 10 years ago, the hymn In Christ Alone was a hymn that transformed my life. The final verse says this. It says, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus demands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. There is power in the name of Jesus. And in the days and weeks to come, I'm going to encourage us at St. Thomas's to press into Scripture, to see for ourselves what power there is in his name, to ask some of the big questions, to battle with our doubts. For my prayer is that we will each experience more of the life that Jesus came and made a way for. So I wonder, what are your big questions? What are your doubts? I'd love us to become a community where we have the courage to ask them and work through them. And if you're listening to this online, get in contact with me if you want to discuss this with me yourself. In time, we would love to run a Christian Basics course at St. Thomas's, and perhaps you'd like to join it. From September, we plan to start a Bible study group starting on the 3rd. And whether you know a little or a lot, I promise that you'll be welcome and wanted. Always feel free to contact me directly if you want to talk something through. I'm going to finish this by praying the alternative collect for the 23rd of September. So let's pray. God of glory, the end of our searching, help us to lay aside all that prevents us from seeking your kingdom, and to give all that we have to gain the pearl beyond all price, through our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.